Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on danger for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump.
So what was that last? What did Mike P say?
Fuck them.
I think that's exactly what he did say. How you doing today, amigo?
Long day.
Yeah, I heard you doing some serious stuff down there. We want to say hello to everybody joining us here. Everybody going to see the archives later. Hello, hello, hello.
Thanks.
I'd like to talk a little bit, if you don't mind. Jump in. We just celebrated 9/11. I hope everybody took the time to talk to another person about 9/11. Talk to children and grandchildren. Remind them the importance of what 9/11 is. It's not just a page in the history book. It really happened to us. Let's not let our children forget that. Now, why I'm talking is because I've had so many people come in my shop today. They're talking about what's going on in our foreign embassies. Why aren't our troops firing on the crowds? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, these troops will be giving orders not to fire on the crowds. Today, for the first time ever, they were given okay permission to fire over the crowd's heads. We do not have a problem with Marines. The Marines guarding the embassies are not afraid. They've been given orders not to fire upon the crowd. I've had so many people saying, what's wrong with the Marine Corps? Philip, you know damn good well they're just following the orders they have to follow, right?
Right. Follow the last order first.
That's it.
Actually, Bill, they're waiting for those two warships to park off.
Yeah, they're going to bring 50 more Marines
then
in.
Then they're going to help them out.
But these ones that are now at the embassy, they're not doing a damn thing wrong. They're doing the best they can. They're doing what they're told to do. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm asking you, show some respect for the Marine Corps. Show some respect for these guards doing the embassy. They're doing what they were told to do. You know back in 1970-79 what the hell it was when the Iranian embassy?
Yeah, I got to tell you this, Bill.
Yeah.
Yo, Libya, you're lucky Obama is our president. If someone like Reagan were prez, you'd be getting reminded right now why the second line in the USMC hymn says, to the shores of Tripoli.
Ronnie Reagan.
If you didn't hear that again, if someone like Reagan were president, you'd be getting reminded right now why the second line in the United States Marine Corps hymn says, to the shores of Tripoli.
That's right. Ronnie Reagan walked softly with a big stick. That's not his quote, but he certainly did it well. We have embassies all across the world. The purpose of the embassies is so foreigners can do trade with America, so foreigners can get passports, and so Americans in trouble can go to the embassies.
And they got somewhere to hide while they're checking out the oil supplies and sending all the info back.
And we have
back,
our spies over there, too. But these are peaceful bastions of freedom. We do have embassy guards there, but we are not there to take action. However, I think once these 50 Marines, as you pointed out, get there...
It's on.
I think so, buddy. It's on. Off the kid gloves. So if you hear other people badmouth the Marines over there, you tell them right away, hey, every embassy has been attacked so far. These guards, these young kids, our sons, our daughters, they were doing what they were told to do. They were told not to fire into the crowd. That's why they'll never let you and I in charge, right?
Right.
Fire in the goddamn crowd.
You know, Bill, I gotta play something here because freedom is not free, Bill.
No, still give it lives.
Freedom is not free. And if you indulge me for this moment.
Thank you.
what, Bill? I'm going to switch to this one.
Yeah.
That's the Marine Corps band. Here's the full version.
From the halls of honor to the palace, to the shores of Tripoli, revive our country's battles in the air, on land, and sea. Versified for right and freedom, and to keep our honor free.
Right now, waiting to talk. Give us 2 minutes, and I'll be right to 760-310. You're going to be first someone up to bat, so give us 2 minutes to finish this, and we'll bring you right in.
All right.
Go for it.
Just briefly, I'll say, you wouldn't mind quickly, we're talking about our sons and daughters, of course. Let's not forget the women we have over there. I'm asking everybody tonight, because I'm in a foul mood, if you got a problem with what's going on in our embassies, don't call me in tonight. If you want to complain about American politics, don't call me in tonight. I've in the past always said I would not, and Philip, you agreed to this.
Yeah.
I would not shut somebody off.
Nope.
I'm in a foul mood. I don't want to hear no shit. If you got a problem with the government, you got a problem with this country, pack up and leave. For the rest of the people, if you want to make a better government, that I'm all for that. But
well, Bill, if you don't vote, shut the fuck up.
That's right. And support our troops.
Absolutely.
If you don't stand behind them, what's that saying? Try standing in front of them.
That's so, right.
There you go. All right, enough of the Paul. That's what I feel about that.
All right. Is that you, Mona?
No, it's me, honey.
How are you?
How are you? Amazing.
Good.
Actually, I'm getting ready to get out of here because I'm going to that thing I told you about online.
Right.
We're trying to erect a statue for Junior Seahouse. If you want, you can go to the website, which is www.seahousememorial.org. Just go there, and all the information is there. All the, you know, how to donate and how to do all that stuff. But we're having a little fundraiser right there at the BCDC, the Breakfast Club Diner, right there on Coast Highway and Purview Way.
Right.
Tonight, we're going to be giving away some stuff. We're also going to be raffling off some stuff to raise funds for this statue. We're also going to be having another fundraiser. I believe it's on the 17th, but I have to double check. And that's going to be down the street at the pizza place, the Brickwater Pizza.
Okay, so, if you get a flyer together for that, send it to me so I can post it, please.
Okay, I have it. I'll send it to you. I have a bunch of flyers, too, if you ever
send
come
them
by. I'm working at Pierce tonight.
Okay.
I'll be there until midnight at Pierview,
right.
And I have to shoot my little butt up the street to Firewater Saloon. You know how I have to cut myself in half. But I do have flyers. If you need some, I'll bring you some.
Okay.
No worries. But I want everybody to come out there. This is a really great cause. It's a nonprofit organization. Actually, it's Junior Seahouse's next door neighbor. His name's Mike. He's the one who started this whole campaign to do this.
Right.
And then he asked me to help him because, you know, I know how to fundraise like a mother.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you're
so,
not bad at spending the fuck out of people. I know that.
I'm not bad at it at all. So. But we're trying to raise some funds. We really want to get this done. You know, we have some stuff. There's a lot of information on the website, so don't be overwhelmed when you get on there. Try not to get too overwhelmed. But there's a lot of information. There's a lot of thank yous and congratulations also. If you do go to the Breakfast Club tonight over there off of Pierview and Coast Highway in the Oceanside, if you do end up coming by, you know, we have, like I said, we have a lot of information there also. So I encourage everybody to come.
Perfect.
Hey, this is Bill Kennedy. You know, I got Kennedy's Custom Cycles with my brother Mike. He drops the flyers down our shop. I start pushing in there. Beside the fact I know a lot of vets, of course, a lot of bikers. A lot of us went to school in Oceanside. So,
right.
We're all related somehow. So you get a chance to stop by our shop, drop a flyer too. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries. I'll take care of it. I'll drop some off probably tomorrow. Well, you know, my week starts now. I have Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm at the bars all weekend. So I'll try to stop by sometime.
You're at the bars working, not drinking, though.
I do a little bit of both.
Okay.
You know how it is. You got to drink a little bit to get your head straight to work there. So.
I've seen that crowd. It's a crowd sometimes.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult sometimes. Yeah, we have a little mix of everybody, so it's a little hard to. Plus, you know, I work for both bars, Firewater and Pierview, so I have to split myself in half and keep an eye on both of them.
You got to start learning how to give fresh ones. You know what a fresh one is?
What's that?
Listen, that's a fresh one.
I need to learn how to do that. I better learn how to do that. I'm going to work on it. For real.
How to do it next time I see you.
Okay, I will.
All right.
Hopefully I'll see you this weekend. And like I said, if you guys can stop in tonight, that would be freaking wonderful. I'd be so happy to see you. I will be at the Breakfast Club probably like in the next hour. And then, of course, I have to run down the street to Pierview because I have a band that starts at... What time does my band start? I asked my assistant. What time does my band start? 9 o'clock? 9 o'clock. I have a band start tonight. It's a reggae band. And then they'll be done by midnight. So, yeah. I hope to see you guys there.
Okay. We'll talk to you soon then. Thanks for calling.
Okay. You too. Bye. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good girl. Doesn't have to do something like that. She's doing it because she thinks it's important. That's a good deal.
That's it.
You know, it's not just the Samoan community or the Mexican community, the white community, the Oceanside community. Our children need to have more role models. And Junior was somebody that came from nowhere. Started,
you know, he used to get up every Saturday morning, even if he didn't feel good, Bill, and go out and do his little camp.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, even if he didn't feel good, he went out and did his camp.
He was a good role model for everybody.
Absolutely.
Was he a perfect human being? No, of course not.
Wasn't
none of us
perfect.
Were. The fact is, though, he gave more than anybody I've ever heard in my life to our North County people, especially
Oceanside.
Yes,
he did. He sponsored kids for their proms.
Yeah.
He sponsored kids for He sponsored a couple kids for college with
and
his foundation.
And you can see him hanging out on the beach surfing and playing in the sand every day, just, you know.
Personal of a guy.
I never,
walk up to him, shake hands, how you doing?
Yeah, that's what I never felt he was an ego or attitude. He was just like, hey, how you doing? Hey, good to see you, you know.
He's one of the ones that remember where he came from.
Yeah, I think so.
267.
Hey, it's Alicia. How are you?
Hey, Alicia.
Good, how are you?
All right, can't complain. How you been?
Good, how are you?
Okay, all right, busy, but, you know, okay, trying to wind down, you know, for a Thursday night. But, you know, just try to keep things going.
How's that emergency you had the other day? Everything work out?
Yes, yeah. It was my dad, so he came home today, and they said that he had pancreatitis, and I guess they ruled it out. So I don't really, to this hour, we still don't know what happened. I don't know, maybe he was just dehydrated, but he just looked bad. So, but yeah, he's home now, which is good. So it's a big relief, you know. It was just, it's crazy. You know, you get the phone call and it's like, okay, what do you do? You know, where do you go first? But he's good. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's been going on with you guys?
Just busy, busy, busy.
Yeah, that's good, right? That's a good thing.
Well, we have one weekend off, and then we're getting ready for the Las Vegas Bike Festival coming up. That's 2 weeks.
That's 2 weeks.
So
wow.
So 1 week of rest. We've been running around pretty heavy, especially my social butterfly here next to me.
Oh, thanks a lot.
We've got everywhere.
Well, but that's a good thing, though.
We're resting this weekend and on the way to Nevada.
Sometimes it's not a good thing because of just to the things that happen. Some people do things, other people do things, and then you get put in the middle of shit.
Oh, you know?
Right.
Help out there,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah, we were kind of in the middle of our little saga here, but, you know, listen, shit happens. You got to roll with it, and that's pretty much all you can do, you know? Just don't get involved if it doesn't involve you. You know, try and take a backseat. That's what I've learned in this whole industry thing, you know. If it doesn't involve you, stay out of it. So don't get pulled in.
On paper, that sounds good. But
when you're at all the different events and the different clubs and different everybody and people pushing you which way you're going to go, sometimes you just hurt some people's feelings. You say, no, I don't. That's not the way I'm going to go. We're going to support this group. We try to be
open. I agree.
Yeah.
I wish it was that easy, you know. I wish it was that cut and dry, but unfortunately, it's not. But I know what you're saying. Life would be so much easier if you could handle it that way. But sometimes you can't, and you do get sucked in, and you just have to just watch what you do, watch what you say, type thing.
Basically, for me, depending where I'm at, as Billy told me, you got to be careful what happens because.
Who you're seen with, you're known by the company you keep.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Hey, then you're, it can be all blown out of proportion.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, this is true. I've had that happen to me too, so. Yeah. So.
Well, like I said, we'll have 1 week off to rest up, not too much more, and then after that, Las Vegas.
There you go. That sounds like fun.
It's that ride. I need to burn the evil out of me. That long ride through the desert does that. And then when I get to Vegas, I'm ready for more evil, I guess.
Uh-oh.
Riding
That's
through
a good
the desert
thing,
is the relaxing things I've ever done in my life. It just, nobody can talk to me. I don't have a radio. I can't have anybody two-way speakers. It's me and the desert, and we're going to keep
going. Well, for me, Bill, it's the sound of a roaring V-twin underneath my testicles, but that's just me.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that. So is it a ride that anyone can join, or?
Tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands will be there.
Yeah.
Las Vegas PD just ordered 2,000 extra ticket books.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Your event, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Have you been to Vegas? You know where Fremont Street is?
No, I've never been out there. Nope.
Well, that's where the event's going to be on Fremont Street.
Oh, okay. So just everyone's just going to converge there?
All over. Cashman Center, there. Yeah.
Well, you got to take lots of pictures and put them up on the site for me to see.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
What big thing were you gonna plug? I understand you're putting a challenge out for motorcycles.
Yes, I am. I'm actually I'm trying to get together a calendar that features, you know, me on motorcycles. So we just put it out there on Facebook a little while ago that anyone in the our immediate area, I'm in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, like outside of Philadelphia. So anyone in the Jersey area or Pennsylvania that wouldn't mind driving to a set location sometime in October, I think we have the dates picked. I'm not sure, but I would like to do a calendar. We have a company out in Florida that is ready to go. It's an international calendar, and you know.
Can
it's
you
just
do me a
weird.
Favor? Can you do me a favor and send me scan and send me a couple of shots from that calendar so Bill and I can take a look at it before we say yes or no, because we have to kind of be careful with some of the things we do involve children.
Okay.
Are you talking
right,
about
yeah.
Davidson motorcycles, Vectric motorcycles, European motorcycles, or all motorcycles?
It doesn't matter. Whoever wants to, you know, like I guess it's the first 12 people that respond. 14, I'm sorry. But we have for 14.
Well,
yeah.
Something that they think I'll
look good on.
Mike said no crotch rockets.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah. So you know, it's just but what we are, you know, we plan on doing is, I am donating $1 of every calendar that's sold, and the company is actually donating $1 to, you know, for every calendar that's sold, and we are going to put it towards a charity of, I don't know, we haven't decided yet, but most likely it'll be the veterans. You know, that's what we would like to gear it towards. I stand behind St. Jude's Children's Hospital. I give myself monthly. You know, it's just maybe pick something once a month, you know, hopefully it's something that'll take off.
Any charity that you pick, I would like you to do your homework or run it by me first so we can tell you exactly, because some of them, whatever you send them,
mm-hmm.
they'll only donate 10% of what you send them and keep the rest.
Oh, no, I don't want that.
Too many, many, many years. And for some large organizations, the hierarchy, the people that put the charities on, they put a large portion in their pocket. So please do a little research to make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck. Merely a suggestion.
Yeah. You know, it's a shame because you don't think about that. You know, you just think, oh, you know, it's a good charity. It's for a good cause. And you're absolutely right. That's how these people do. Listen, I know everybody's out to, you know, to have a job and to have a salary and stuff like that. But, you know, when the CEOs of a charity are bringing in millions of dollars just for their own income, there's something wrong with that. You know, and it is being taken away from the whole purpose of, you know, get you giving to them. So I will definitely
We do about 6 charities a year out of my motorcycle shop, and Philip and I see to it that every cent collected goes to the charity that the recipients. We have those people out there collecting the money.
We just had an attorney get arrested for $2.3 million. Over the last 5 years that he's collected, mm-hmm. he built a house, he bought cars, he bought guns,
mm-hmm.
he built a moat, he built a tunnel underneath so if the cops did come, he could get out, and all kinds of stupid shit this guy did.
We want to give, Phil and I did one with the paralyzed veterans a while ago, and we had the members of the San Diego Veterans Hospital there collecting every cent. And we know every cent went right from there, right to help those veterans in wheelchairs and help transportation from the hospital. So we do a lot of homework to make sure that the money's going where it should go. And we're just asking everybody that's out there doing events, take the time, do your homework, because we don't need more negative publicity. It kind of turns people off.
And everybody that's on hold, we'll get to you right after this segment.
Okay. I appreciate that. That's something that, you know, I will definitely look into, and I will run it by you, Phil, to make sure that, you know, everything is copacetic pretty much, you know, because I don't want, you know, charities are for charities, and charities are for people that need the money, you know, and not for somebody who sits behind a desk pushing pencils. I definitely agree with that. You know, we have charities all the time, you know, just in the catering business, and it's people that are sick and, you know, are dying because of cancer and stuff like that. So you know that money is going directly to them because it's on a smaller scale. But, you know, once you go into these bigger scale corporations and stuff, that's when it gets a little dicey, I guess. So we'll definitely do our due diligence.
Here in San Diego, the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Walk, They only give 10% of what they collect to the charity because everybody else gets paid, Bill.
I didn't know that for sure.
That's for sure.
You know, we want to tell you that besides going out there and having local people donating for the calendars and all that, if I can suggest you, now you're up my alley, my forte, try to get the big boys in there quick as you can. Try to get your Walmart. Corporate sponsorship is the key. Try to get your Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Try to get your Midas muffler, whatever it is, any type of corporate. Do this event, get yourself established, try to take a video of the event and send a copy of the video to corporate headquarters of all these companies. That's where you make the money, and now you're working smarter and not harder. So small little video and send them out for the following year to see if anybody will help you. You know, Hooters, they always help us a lot of programs. Right. A lot of people out there that will help, they got to know about in advance, though. Because they have to check you out also. So,
I'll take that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
We're not just two good-looking guys. We're smart, too.
There you go. You've been around the block once or twice. I appreciate that, though.
Phil wants to know if he rides his bike out. Can you be in a picture in the calendar with you?
There you go. Sure. Definitely.
Phil, you're on your way, yeah.
Yeah, but he's got a smile, though.
You obviously haven't been looking because they got a lot of pictures they caught me smiling.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll have to go on. I think Mike's on there now, so I'll have to go check those pictures out.
On the blog.
Well, next time you're in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. But if anybody, you know, listening out there that wants to, you know, you volunteer their bike, you know, all they have to do is just email me at, it's Alicia Pleasure, I think it's thefanclub@gmail.com. And, you know, we'll get back in touch with them as soon as possible. I'm very excited about this, and hopefully we'll be able to get 14 motorcycles that will just make the shoot even hotter.
Good. Yeah.
Let's not
women riders, too. Any women out there got motorcycles want to be in the calendar, too. Let them bring their motorcycles in, correct? We don't just
anybody who has a motorcycle that's, you know, interested, you know, we're open to anything at this point. So, okay.
And of course,
definitely.
Any veterans carry their motorcycles, we encourage the veterans to bring your bike out too, so that can be in the calendar.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Again, let's
get
our women veterans, not just the men.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
You seem like you get a lot of good energy and all that, so that's kind of nice. That's helpful a lot.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah,
you haven't seen one of her movies, Bill. She has a lot of energy.
No, I've not seen one of her movies.
Yeah, I do what I need to. No, I'm only kidding. Well, I hope so anyway. That's what sells, which is good. But,
your story. You can try, but, you know, that's just me.
Right, yeah. Did you ever get that video that was mailed to you? Was ever mailed to you?
It hasn't come yet.
Oh, it hasn't? All right. I'm going to have to, I'll send him an instant message to see if he sent it out. But we gave him your address. It was the one that we sent the pictures to, correct? Was that the right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I will. I'll reach out to him and see what's going on with it because I know he was thankful that we sent it to him, that we sent him your address, and yeah, I thought that would be right out. He probably forgot. So, but you gotta let me know when you get it.
I will.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys have a good night, and thanks for taking my call. And
we need positive people. Remember, what this lady's doing is one thing. You don't have to do an event this big. Do something in your own community. Get together. Make your community better. That's all we ask out of everybody.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and I like the lady that was before me with the Junior Seau thing. That's promising. I like to hear stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a good friend of ours. Her name is Mona.
Yeah.
You know, Bill, these cocksuckers just zapped us.
What's that?
Oh, they just zapped us. They gave us a blue screen for a minute.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No.
He's zapping.
Don't worry.
Scanning us.
They think we're sending subliminal messages.
Oh, my God. That's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody's got to have a job, and their job is just to follow everybody.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know how you do it. That would irritate the hell out of me.
Well, the other alternative is quit doing it, and we're not going to quit. We have no money. We're not asking for any money. We've never asked for anything. We're going to keep doing because we think it's the right thing to do. We want to provide a vehicle for all of our friends to call in and talk about whatever they think is to talk about. It's important. That's all we're asking.
Exactly.
United States of America. I'm an American.
It
you're
is.
An American. Tell me what's on your mind, and our government is paranoid about it.
Right. Yeah, so much for freedom of speech, right?
Absolutely. There is no
That only goes so far anymore in this country. I hate to say that, and that's a shame. That bugs me. You want to talk about something that bugs me is you can't even say anything anymore without having 10 million people like jump down your throat, you know, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. You just can't even have an opinion.
No.
If I do AM radio also, when you have no idea how much my hands are tied. In fact, I didn't mention you, Philip. Tuesday I was on Steve Beckett's show talking about 9/11, the importance of it. And there was so many things I couldn't say because I'll offend the sponsors.
Yeah.
We don't have sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about what you want.
Exactly. That's what, we have the same thing on our show, too. It's, you know, it's kind of, we're explicit, though, so we can really get away with a lot of stuff. And, you know, thank God, you know, for right now we don't have anybody, you know, watching us. But, you know, so it's a good avenue, you know, I think anyway. And, you know, I just, like yourselves, you want more callers calling in, and that's really it. It's to hear what other people have to say and not just what you have to say. And that's what your callers have to realize, that, you know, they have a voice, so use it. And if they have a vehicle to use that voice or to get their point across. And,
right.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Americans talking to Americans? I don't see anything wrong there.
Right.
I don't
exactly.
Need
it, Bill. I agree. Well, I will get that stuff over to you for you guys to look at, and you let me know if you want to go ahead with it.
Sure. What's the confirmed date?
I think we're shooting, the shoot is going to be October 13th and 14th, so we're probably not looking to get those calendars out probably until like November 1st, I think. That's what I'm guessing, because I know the calendar guy wants them kind of ASAP because we are coming into calendar season, and the sooner he gets the pictures, the sooner he can work on the calendars and get them out to where they need to be. So. Okay.
All right. And then.
All right.
Yeah. Well, as soon as I get those, I'll get a hold of Bill, and we'll go from there. You'll hear
from us
the next day or.
All right.
The same.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely, buddy.
Okay. Well, you guys have a good night.
Take care, kiddo. We'll see you next time.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. If somebody's in the chat room, do me a favor and let me know if you can still hear us.
We're having some problems here, ladies and gentlemen.
No, we're not having problems. I thought I fixed it. Anybody, if anybody can...
just type something in.
Just type something in that you can hear us.
The brown fox jumped over the fence. Anything at all. Type in kiss my ass.
Okay, anything. Loud and clear.
Okay.
Perfect. Mm. All right, we're going to go to... we're going to go to Nora.
Nora.
Say hi, Nora.
Hi. Hi, Bill.
Okay,
how are you guys?
Good.
Okay.
Hold on. Stacy,
okay.
Say hello.
Stacy, you out there tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Hey, what's going on?
Hudson,
glad to hear your voice. She's
tuned in. She said she was coming to the show, Bill, just to get your to hear you to get her fixed.
Oh, I thank you very much for the kind words. A lot of times I'm with just Philip, and it's kind of a lonely life.
Oh, here we go.
The fact that somebody would take to call in and just to say hello to us, that means so much to Philip and I. Because without you people, it's just Philip and I.
Yeah.
So thank you for. Anybody else on the phone too?
Yeah. Okay. Hello, Eunice.
Eunice.
Hey. Hey, Bill and Phil. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, girls.
Hi, Eunice.
What's going on, Eunice?
Nothing much. I just had a crying jag listening to the music, so that was good.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah, that brings back when it was real, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Brings it back to when it was real. And I'm serious when I said I had a crying jag.
Yeah.
Because if we could only go back to those days.
Well, then again, let's mention everybody that our Marines, cowards. Our Marines are defending the embassy. They're being told not to shoot onto the crowd. I'm so tired of people coming and saying, well, the old days, Marines would have shot. The Marines today are doing what they're ordered to do. And
that's
following
right.
Orders, that's everything. So everybody get off the Marines case. We have 50 crack troopers, 5th Marines coming in there to take over. They're going to be a different type of Marine to deal with. But each Marine, every man or woman there defending the embassy is being told to evacuate. They're not running away. They're doing what they have to do. They're doing what they were told to do. Right, Philip?
Right.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
following their last order first.
Get off the Marines' back. There's early.
You know something? You guys have got to play that over and over again. You know?
Well,
no, really.
Philip will start crying too. And,
yeah. Well,
you know something? It's so imperative that people really realize that we're not what we used to be. And you know, I know people say you can never go back, but you can go back and listen to when it was good and when it was heartfelt. You know, really. I mean, that's. That's so imperative, you know. We're just losing so much. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about good things tonight, right?
You know, as long as you just don't talk negative, don't get me irritated tonight, please, boys and girls.
No, I'm not talking negative. I don't think I'm. If I am, you shut me off, you know. I believe that, you know, you guys do good works. You're honest people. And you know, you should be heard more.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I'm serious. You should be heard more because you.
When we weren't heard much at all, we didn't have any problem. But since we're starting to get a little bit of popularity, that's where we're getting all the problem with the people observing us, screwing up the program.
See, because those guys, Bill, this is what they listen to at boot camp, Bill. Every Marine listens to this one, Bill. Check this out. Loading up.
Today, you people are no longer maggots. Today, you are Marines. You're part of a brotherhood. From now on, until the day you die, wherever you are, every Marine is your brother. Most of you will go to Vietnam. Some of you will not come back. But always remember this. Marines die. That's what we're here for. But the Marine Corps lives forever. And that means you live forever.
Couldn't say it any better than that, Bill.
No.
Yeah, you can't.
You know, again, we forget the fact that we're sending 18 and 19-year-old men and women, or boys and girls, over there do the job of men and women. Sometimes when I see 18, 19-year-old troops, they look young to me. Hell, the cops look young to me, for Christ's sakes, these days now. But everybody going over there, they're getting the right training. That's why these Marines are following the orders by not farting into the crowd. If Philip and I were in charge, we would unload every lousy bit of ammunition we had into the crowd. We'd take our rifles using like baseball bats. But that's why we're not in charge of anything.
Because
we're not seeing the big picture.
You know, Bill, it's just like anything else. You know, you get conditioned in the Marine Corps. Now, this is from Paris Island, where
you
I
get conditioned. What do you mean, sir?
You'll
to
see.
Okay.
You'll see. This is where I went to boot camp.
We're laying in bed.
Mama and Papa, we're laying in bed.
Mama rolled over, and this is what she said.
Mama rolled over, this is what she said.
I give it something.
Aren't they?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
there's
because
a,
I tried.
There's a few that I haven't heard in a long time, and it brings a tear to my eye.
Well, when my daughter came back from BCT, which is basic training, I tried over and over to get her to sing me a few of those things, and she said, no way. She was all sung out, because I think they sound beautiful. I think they're cool, you know. But yeah, she wouldn't do it for me.
Well, I wouldn't do it either when I first got home. Then I find myself around the ship, and I see a couple of guys, or I see some, and I'm walking down the. I'm either walking around the ship, and I start bringing shit.
Let's not forget today, we also want to thank the Army, the Navy, the Air Corps.
Everybody in service, Bill.
And Coast Guard. I apologize to the Coast Guard also. We want to thank everybody for their duties, contributions. But all of the embassies across the world, the United States embassies, are only protected by Marines. Isn't that correct?
Correct.
There's a special, I want to say squadron, battalion. There's a special...
Security Guard, Bill.
Thank you very much. There you go. Every United States embassy around the world is protected by the Marine Security Guard, you said.
That's correct.
All right.
So is the captain of the boat.
Captain of the boat, what do you mean?
So is the captain on the ship. He has his own guard.
Oh, Marines are on the ship too?
There's Marines and there's spooks on the ship too, Bill.
I didn't know that.
There's one to two, depending on what kind of ship it is, there's one or two spooks on the ship.
So let me ask you about this ship. A bunch of you guys, you go out all together in the ship, and you're out for a long time?
6 months.
Okay. Just you and the guys in the big ship?
No, they have women now.
Oh, okay.
They have women on ships since 1978.
Did they have women on when you were in?
Nope.
Just you and all those guys, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to go somewhere with that?
I'm not going anywhere. I'm just asking.
Fuck.
Oh, I love that one.
Don't encourage him.
Treading on dangerous water, look out.
Yes. Because inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, and there's no women on smaller ships, though.
You know, though, what you guys were talking about earlier about, you know, back in the olden days or golden days, however you want to word it, where, you know, there was a strong patriotic presence. I've always been patriotic, or so to say, but I'll tell you what, I really felt something deeper when I watched my daughter graduate from basic training, you know, because viewing her coming across the field and doing her thing, it gave me a totally different sense of what exactly the military does for our well-being in this country, you know, because my direct bloodline, my daughter, is part of that military, and it just, I think it changes people for the positive.
You know, I want to tell you that the amount of captain to U.S. military coming back. 1971, I finished up my tour of duty, and I flew to San Diego. I didn't call my family up. I really wanted to knock on the door and surprise my mother. So I thought I would hitchhike home. I got my uniform on. I've got my duffel bag. And I went down to the freeway, Interstate 5, from the airport. And I was hitching a ride. First vehicle that pulled up was the California Highway Patrol.
What are you doing on the freeway?
This guy gave me... I had 1 foot on the sidewalk, 1 foot on the highway, on the on-ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Gave me a ticket, and he said he's tired of us military coming home and getting all this accolations and platitudes, and how he's just fed up with it. Wrote me a ticket for jaywalking or for hitchhiking, excuse me, 1971. That's my welcome back to America. I mean, everybody's a lot of guys had a lot worse than I did, but this was my own police department, Highway Patrol.
Wow. This guy was an asshole.
Freeway, you know?
He was never in the service.
Oh, I know that, yeah. And you could tell that. You can tell that was the animosity.
Yeah. You know, he probably didn't piss in the bottle right or something.
Mm.
I mean, come on, Bill. The people like that, they're scum.
No, but this is what's affected a lot of the military, because Philip and I work
just
weekly.
Just like Art said. Well, John has this... Bonk buddies. Art says times have changed, and yes, they have, Art.
Philip and I do a lot of work with Marines, and I mean with military guys from the hospital with post-traumatic stress. These guys, if they were bikers, they went in. No matter what experience they had on the motorcycle shop, and by osmosis, hang out with the Harley-Davidsons, after a while, they start to recognize, oh, man, I had a carburetor like that. Hey, I had an exhaust pipe like that. We're now having one young military person, mostly Marines, though, talking to another. In the hospital, that round peg's not fitting in the square hole. In the Harley-Davidson shop, it's starting to come together. So Philip and I give an awful lot.
We got it. Hold on, Bill.
Hey, we got some.
I'll let you wrap that up.
Okay.
Riel, he left. I was gonna
I'm here.
Hey, cool.
I'm here, brother. How you guys doing?
Good tonight. All right.
Let Bill finish what he was going to say, and you can say hello to everybody yourself.
I'll wrap it up real quickly. I was just saying that Philip and I, we speak to these young Marines, and the purpose we try to do is talk about the motorcycles, which they knew before they went in the military. And if we can break through, have one Marine talk to another Marine about a carburetor or an exhaust pipe, that's the small, tiny step. But we know from that point on... They'll make more steps. Or in America, you see these young men and women with this post-traumatic stress. You got to reach out. They don't know how to reach out to you. So, enough of that right now. Help where you can. Rio, welcome to the program, buddy.
Thank you. How are you guys doing?
Doing okay tonight.
Right on, man. Sorry I missed the beginning of the show here. I was hoping to talk to Alicia. She sounds like a fantastic woman. Doing all these causes and everything for everybody, and the advice that you gave to her to do the research, because of the money going to the wrong pockets, you are 100% right. As you know, I've got cancer, and the Canadian Cancer Society has been charged so many times for defrauding people. This is a worldwide situation here. This is not just a cancer society, a diabetic society for the blind, whatever. There are thieves out there that steal your hard-earned money because you guys are trying to do something good, you know, and you guys get pissed on. That is just not right. I feel so angry when I hear stuff like that, you know. But this woman is not quitting, and you guys are not quitting, and I'm very proud of you. I miss you guys. I haven't been on the radio in a long time due to the cancer. That's why I was kind of hoping to talk to her, and because I missed her email. I got her name, and she said that email so quick I didn't have time to write it down. So if you could maybe, Phil, if you could send that to me, because we're friends on Facebook, that'd be fantastic. I would really appreciate it. Then I can do something from my end. For people who are listening, I'm friends with Bill and Phil. I'm a crazy Canadian, and I will do anything I can for these brothers. And I got to say, I love you. I truly love you, and I would love to meet you guys in person. I really would. It would make my decade, brother.
Come on down.
We'll figure it out. You know, this whole world is full of good people. We dwell on the negative people. In every neighborhood, you got good people. Worldwide,
oh, there is. Exactly. But they're so hard to find now, you know, because everybody is for themselves. You know, you guys fight for people. I hear this show all the time, and it affects me emotionally because I know you guys are true blue brothers. You guys are good, solid, honest people. You don't get fucked over. You don't want to get fucked over, and it would get ugly if you did. And I know that because you're the same old school as me. You don't fuck with people like that. We're trying to do something good. You leave that money. If we raise $150,000, we want to see $150,000 going to that cause. Not 75, not 25,000, like you were mentioning that attorney. There's a bunch of these guys out here in Canada that rip off blind people. Hey, you might as well steal candy from a baby or pull the baby from the mother's tit and deny it milk. That's how fucking low it is. It's just not right.
No.
It's a special place in hell for those people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You betcha. And it ain't going to be money burning around them. It's going to be brimstone. But you guys keep it up. Don't take no shit from the FCC and everybody else that's trying to tap into your lines. You just keep doing what you're doing. I'm very proud of you. Always have been since day one. Like I said, I've got my own struggles, and I do apologize for not being on the show as often because I went through hell myself, and there was a time I was phoning every Tuesday, every Thursday. I was doing that for 4 or 5 months in a row, and then all of a sudden, boom, I was off Facebook. I was off everything because of my illness, and I'm trying to raise money for cancer people out here. I'm trying to raise them for Canada, out in Calgary. I live in the mountains right now, but I got a home in Calgary, so I try to raise money. There was a beautiful lady in the States, I'm trying to think of her name. She was dying of cancer, and she had done so much work with the bikers, setting up runs and stuff. I forget her name now. And one of her friends and the attorney contacted me through Facebook, and I gave a donation. You know, I'm not a rich man, and I gave a donation of $400. I mean, $400 is $400, and I hope they receive the whole damn thing. You know, that's one person. If there's 20,000 people that send $400, that's a good goddamn chunk of change. I hope it all went to her. I really do, because she was in her deathbed in the hospital.
I want to remind everybody, the name of the show is the Phil and Bill Show, but it's not Phil and Bill's show. It's our show. Everybody that calls in, it's just every bit as much as your show is our show.
Yeah. Well, I've typed that on Facebook myself many a times. I'm going to be on my show tonight. And Phil seen that, you know, and he liked that. He kind of liked the comment, you know. And I always post it. Before the show comes on, I know Phil's noticed it a few times. I always do a countdown. It's 2 hours to the Phil and Bill show. Get on it. Pick up the phone. Help these people. And it's worked on many occasions. That's where you guys met that Kit, that little French lady from Montreal. We're talking about making love with socks on. Remember that girl? Yeah, but you know, I'm here for you guys. I, like I said, I'm a Canadian, and anything you guys need on my end, I will do everything in my power to help you guys out. And I give you my word on this live over the radio. I can't see you face to face, so I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell 1,000 people, 2,000 people, I'm giving you my word. I will do everything in my power to raise money for you or anybody else.
We appreciate that. I want you all to know that living in Canada, this man has a tough road to follow. The police department in Canada are very hard on bikers.
Oh, they are.
The mounted police are no easy task. We've had a lot of people calling in. Canada is it's a beautiful country, certainly, but, man, it's a tough place. So he needs all the love.
They don't mess around. I don't know, they got this ego complex, man. Their ego is bigger than their badge and their shoulders. I don't know who the hell they think they are anymore, but the RCMP, just like Bill just mentioned, they are a nasty bunch, man. They are a nasty bunch, and they're crooked out here. They are the most crookedest cops. They get away with hit and runs. They get away with impaireds. They get away with everything.
Don't ever anybody go anywhere. I got to reset this thing. They're jacking with us again, so
okay.
I'll be right.
I got to let you guys go. I got to run here. A brother of mine's in a little jam, so I got to go help him out. But thank you for letting me in, and I'll talk to you guys on Thursday.
Thank you, my friend. Good
you betcha. You take care, okay?
All right, you too.
Peace.
You too. Peace out, yeah.
All right. So what's going on here, Bill?
I'm in a bad mood when I came out. Just stay there. Just hang with us. Can they hear me?
Yeah, they can hear us.
Okay. I'm in a bad mood about all this stuff overseas and all the people calling in kind of saying, hey, you know what, lighten up, you know. Our military, I think, is fantastic. I personally would like to see us bring the draft back. I think it would help a lot of our younger people, the draft.
I do, too.
I wasn't crazy when I was drafted, but it was a good thing because I'm going to tell you, I had a K model Sportster in 1956, I think, 59. I can't remember now. I had nothing. I just traveled up and down the road in California, wherever my life took me. The military gave me a chance to travel, gave me a responsibility, gave me some maturity. I guess that's the most biggest word I want. I came out of the military, I'm not saying as a full-grown tough man, but at 21 when I came home, I was a lot different than that 19-year-old kid that went in there. 18, 19, I'm running around California in a Harley-Davidson. I don't know nothing from nothing. 21, the lessons I learned in the military, I think, have helped me to develop into the person I am today.
Yeah.
I've got children.
Go ahead.
I think the 20 and 21-year-olds, they're so spoiled rotten. They have no value of a dollar, number one. Number two, the Army would do the best thing, or the Navy, or the Marines, or the Coast Guards would make men out of them. You know, I mean, really, children growing up nowadays, it's terrible. They're walking down the street with their pants half off, and, you know, and that's a good majority of them, too. I mean, we do have good, intelligent kids, but the majority of the kids growing up nowadays are walking down the street. They have no value, you know. They give you the finger walking down the street, you know.
Yeah. My nephew's a girlfriend. She just joined the Army, and she's now she's 19 years old. She's stationed at Fort Lewis, Washington, and it's amazing the effects I've had her. She's only 19 years old. Anybody in Fort Lewis, Washington? Congratulations on all the work you guys are doing. What you got there, Goose?
I wasn't going to toot my own horn today, Bill, but Tuesday I was recognized by the San Diego Fleet Week Foundation. It's the Enlisted Recognition Luncheon, and it was presented by the Cubic Corporation, Bill. So the mission of Fleet Week that we have every year is to honor and celebrate the men and women of the military through public events that entertain and alliances that support and thank these heroes. So basically, Bill, I got an attaboy for being a Marine.
That's great.
Don't try to pull away. Let me look at that.
Sure,
go ahead. You know, you got Naval, Region Southwest, Marine Corps, Recruit Depot, Naval Medical Center, San Diego State University, Department of Athletics, San Diego Ship Repair Association. You guys?
Yep.
Yeah, okay then. Wow. Midway Museum, Lockheed Martin, General Dynamics, NASCO, General Dynamics IT. What is IT?
Computer Systems.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Cubic, Bank of America, Advanced Plastic, Navy Federal Credit, North Island Credit, PAR Marine Systems. What's that one too, buddy?
That's they support the systems on the ship.
Okay, you got Red Lion Scientifics. You've got SDG&E, you've got,
you got Maytag, make aircraft parts.
These are actually, you're at the heavyweights. I'm going to get, you know what, there you go, you ready? There you go, me to you.
Well, Bill, I'll just give you a short synopsis on this. This is the 50th year. And Fleet Week in San Diego is the nation's largest tribute to our military men and women who dedicate their lives to defend our freedom and way of life. It's a unique way to honor our sailors, Marines, Coast Guardsmen, and here in our hometown. San Diego's military history is extensive, and the military has in the community has been recorded through decades. In the years before Fleet Week, San Diego saluted the achievements of sailors and Marines with accolades, which began in 1986. In 1995, a civic group-minded business leaders created the concept of Fleet Week San Diego, modeling their vision after Fleet Week celebration in San Francisco. The proposed plan appealed to the community because the patriotic focus of the events and the opportunity Fleet Week would provide to educate the region about the importance of the military to our economy and our community. The first Fleet Week San Diego celebration was held in the summer of 1997. From its inception, the San Diego Regional Chamber of Commerce, the San Diego Convention and Visitors Bureau, as well as all the government entities, San Diego's business leaders, and the military all supported and participated in the celebration of the military men and women and their families. Each year, the event has become more popular. This was like trying to go to a movie premiere, Bill. Everybody wanted to go.
Yeah, but
we can't take everybody.
The fact that they would acknowledge your work, I think, you know, personally, because I've seen you down there. Phil's got this big broom. And he pushes the trash, you know. He's one of the best persons they have down there, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
He got that big broom. He pushing that stuff along. That's what makes this country great, you know. No, wait a second. For people who don't know, actually, I am kidding. Of course, Philip is he's one of the major welders, master welder, whatever the hell they call him. He's building those ships out of steel. He's building those big monster ships that keep
us asleep.
As well as
repairing
night.
Them, Bill. More on the repair side lately, but. Holding my own with that. And, you know, when I came back from this, Bill, today,
felt good?
Tuesday, I felt real good. But
well, you should have.
When I came back, I had on one of my, I had on my recognized Marine shirt. And I had young kids coming up and shaking my hand.
Yeah.
When it was supposed to be the other way around.
Well, would that man say, when in the Marine Corps, you're always in the Marine Corps. So
once
they're
Marine,
just,
always Marine.
They're recognizing that. See, we Army don't. So we don't say that in the Army. We say we were in and we're out. A whole different program like that, you know. We haven't heard from any women vets at all. I'd love to hear a woman vet just call and say hello to me, make me feel good. Any women vets out there listening, if you feel comfortable, say something to me. Call in.
Well, I was going to talk about, I got to pull it back up, Bill, but I wanted to talk about, there was a judge in New York District Court, Ninth Circuit Court, Bill. And what this lady did, once I get the story here, what this lady did was she said that NDAA was unconstitutional. And let me get it up here. But, no, to get back to the Fleet Week thing, you know, like Bobby says, he's trying to organize some veteran MCs, RCs, and independents to run in the Vet Day Parade in Frisco this year.
Yeah.
So we'll see what we can do about that. If you got a flyer for that, Bobby, send it to me, and we'll put it on the blog.
While you're trying to figure it out there, I want to point out to you, I don't know if you caught that black paralyzed lawyer.
Right.
He was kicked out of the country.
Right.
He was disbarred. He was going after everybody he could. He was taking money from the people. He's paralyzed in a wheelchair. He was specialized in helping other people in wheelchairs. He was taking money from all those people. So what happened was he ran away to the Philippines,
mm-hmm.
and all they could do was, well, we'll just disbar him. People, he's not even in the country. The guy has left. What the hell does he care if he's disbarred?
Right.
All those thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that this man stole from other people, and all we can do is say, you're a bad boy, you'll be disbarred. He's living in the Philippines like probably king or something, you know? But one less lawyer, and that's always a good sign.
Yeah,
not that we're bad-mouthing
and
the lawyers.
And Art says, personally, I feel, don't go. We have to bring it up for the COC, for the patch holders to decide that their course on this. And Art agreed, and Bobby agreed, and we'll see what happens. But if you guys get the thing, let me know, and we'll promote it. But this story is by Bob Van Voorst. It's a military detention law blocked by a New York judge under NDAA, Bill. A federal judge permanently blocked enforcement of a U.S. law that opponents claim may subject them to indefinite military detention for activities including News reporting and political activism, Bill.
Political activism. What is a catch-all phrase for everything?
Absolutely. Like the RICO.
Yeah, yeah.
U.S. District Judge Catherine Forrest in Manhattan today ruled that the law passed as part of the National Defense Act for 2012 is unconstitutional. She made permanent the preliminary injunction against the law that she said she had ordered in May. The government is appealing her May order. The Constitution places affirmative limits on the power of the executive to act, and these limits apply in times of peace as well as war. Forrest wrote an 112-page opinion today, which if you go on the link on the blog, you can get that. Needlessly, to refuse to hear constitutional challenges of the executive's conduct in the name of deference would be to abdicate this court's responsibility to safeguard the rights it is sworn to uphold, Bill. She laid it on the line, dude. She hit him with a baseball bat. The suit was filed January 13th by a group including former New York Times reporter Christopher Hodges. The plaintiffs contend that Section 1021B of the law allows for detention of citizens and permanent residents taken into custody in the U.S. on suspicion of providing substantial support to people engaged in hostilities across the U.S., such as Al-Qaeda.
No. Well, that does not mean the Muslim people.
No.
That is a small section, Al-Qaeda.
But the plaintiffs claimed that the law was vague, Bill, and could be read to authorize their detention based on speech and associations that are protected by the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And I put that up in there, and I'll put it in there again. But it's the case Hodges versus Obama.
Hmm.
I'll put that up in the chat room again.
You know, I don't know any Muslim people, to be honest with you. The motorcycle world doesn't seem to be filled with them and all. But I want to point out to everybody
yes,
that...
Yes, it does, Bobby. That includes that.
We don't, okay, yeah. America is built on freedom of religion for everybody. We have had people around the world come to America for freedom. The Muslim people as a race, we don't need to persecute these people. The minority, Al-Qaeda, and a few other minorities, we need to beat the shit out of them and throw them out of the country. That's my
right.
opinion on that.
We lost Eunice. She probably got a phone
okay.
call. But Fran is joining us. And what I wanted to do, Fran, before you say, well, naturally I'd like to say hello, Bill.
Hello,
like to say,
Fran. How are we doing, dear?
Fran, I don't know if you got my message, but I have your T-shirts, so I'll make arrangements with you to get those to you.
I know that.
Okay.
Hey.
And sorry for the delay, but it's a busy week. And then we have Nora and Stacy are on the line.
Hey.
Stacy tuned in to get her bill fixed.
Of course I did. It wouldn't be a good Thursday evening if I didn't hear that nice, smooth, awesome voice.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, I've got a few things to say on some of the things that were said tonight.
Hold on 1 second. Go ahead, Stacy.
Which is nothing new.
Go ahead.
We
just want to curious, do you have like a glass of wine in your hand?
Oh,
are
I will.
Relaxed?
Kind of, no, if I have that, then I go look for fights. You don't want me drinking, honest. I'm not one of those that get drunk and happy. I'm one of those that get drunk and fight. That's
okay.
Not a good thing. Okay.
Right.
When I was of younger years, and most people had come back from Vietnam, I remember sitting on the couch with my brother-in-law, who was he was spared because he was a medic in Vietnam. And we were watching a war movie, and he became paralyzed and started getting into a cold sweat. And what actually happened is at that point, he actually went back into Vietnam and relived watching a young boy blow up the rest of his troop. Only reason he was spared is because he was a medic.
Wow.
And there were a lot of stories, and a lot of them that were not told. A lot of people really don't understand how vicious that people have. They have no value on lives. And they send in babies and women to blow up buses and stuff like that. That just goes to show they have no value on life. And when they promise all those fucking virgins, boy, I hope they're good. Good lays, because they're dead. So I don't know how they're going to fuck them. But other
Fran,
than
may
that,
I say something?
There's yeah.
a Muslim scholar in London right now, and he's translating the Quran. He believes it's the way you put the accent. And the accent on the word virgin actually comes out the word grapes. If you look at the Quran, you look at these souls coming to heaven,
And if you look at Allah, Muhammad, and everybody, they're sitting there on their throne with a cluster of grapes. As the new souls come to heaven, that's in there, the Quran, they're giving them grapes. So it may be, this is a Muslim philosopher out of London, it may not be the word souls, it may be 72 grapes, but a hell of a way to
well,
die for some grapes.
Sour. I hope they're sour grapes then.
Yeah.
There was a movie, and I'm going to apologize. I'm sure someone out there knows the name of the movie. And it would be one of the best movies and should be mandatory of all citizens or non to watch. And what it was Sheen and the son, Sheen, and the son, Sheen came back from Vietnam. And it actually goes through and it shows what flashback looks like. And it shows the horror through his eyes, being in the States, having stuff thrown at him, people not understanding people who came back from Vietnam. The only group of individuals that weren't even recognized because we didn't win the war, but then our government put in the block so we didn't win the war. When people talk about Agent Orange, I don't even know if people know what Agent Orange is. It's a spray that is very, very toxic.
I do.
My friend, Eddie, had to stay 30 days in the hospital, not 10, not 15. According to the military, he had to stay in the hospital for 30. He did have special life. Agent Orange, when it would burst out, it looked like someone who had the worst case of poison ivy all over the whole body. And, I mean, the poor guy was miserable. This stuff is horrendous. And when they sprayed it, they didn't tell our troops, oh, by the way, we're going to spray today. You may want to stay clear a little. No, they just sprayed and a lot of our troops. And then our government wouldn't even recognize. If they said that it was Agent Orange, then the CIA wouldn't even cover it. They wouldn't even cover it. They actually had to call it a nerve disorder so that they could get medical coverage for that, which I think is a disgrace. No military person should ever have to call something different because they can get medical coverage. But that's what they had to do. Finally, there was enough lawsuits against the government, and now they finally do recognize Agent Orange with a skin disorder, not an emotional, not da-da-da, but an actual disorder from this chemical. Doesn't matter, because all of our people who've gone to Vietnam, they're dying at such a fast rate that makes you wonder what else happened in Vietnam that is causing so many people who went to Vietnam to die so young. I have no answer.
Neither does our government.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have an uncle who just recently, now that his body has taken the brutalest of beatings, has been given his full military benefits in recognition of Agent Orange, when I really think that long before this point, it should have been recognized. And I also have another uncle who's buried, and that was the direct result of Agent Orange. So that was and still is a very heartbreaking thing for any family to have to go through, and any family to have to battle a bunch of paperwork just to get, you know, what the person is entitled to. They were there, they served their country. you know, it's part of recognition. It's part of respect. You've got to give back to them. You know, they were in the direct fire of a mishap that happened, or maybe not a mishap. Who knows? But, you know, you have to respond to these people. You have to help them.
Well, that's what I would hope our government would do. And unfortunately, we have seen now, as we have seen in the past, unless the government that is sending our men and women into battle, unless they're actually pushed and put into the news and media and so forth, then no, they don't take action on something that they have created.
I actually think, you know, I'm not big on the whole social media thing, but I actually think on some level, with being able to have a younger generation that's so computer savvy, they're able to see a little bit more, understand a little bit more, and there's more things set up outside the VA to help the vets, because, you know, people have a little bit more knowledge and insight, and maybe they've learned a thing or two from previous mishaps with the way the vets were treated, you know. But all we can hope for is for the future, for everybody to just be, you know, grateful to these men and women who have served, who are serving, and who are getting ready to serve. You know, it's just a thing.
You know, I got to say quickly that the younger people have more access to information, as you said, and I think that's given them a little bit of concern, because they'd have to say, well, if our government's not going to take care of our past vets, is our government going to take care of me? And I think many of our young people are having some questions about that. That's why, for the first time ever, the suicide rate in the United States Army and the Marine Corps has gone right through the roof.
Yep.
They're thinking,
five guys last month, Bill. Right out here,
if they didn't take care of the Vietnam vets,
exactly,
will they take care of me? And I think people are concerned about that. We have another call, don't we, up here, brother?
Sure we do.
Hang on, everybody.
Say hello, Paul.
Good, Bill, yourself?
Not bad. I just told Bill that picture.
Me, big time now. He got his own pictures out and all that. Damn, I knew him when. It wasn't that long ago. It was just Paul. Now he's got his own pictures out. Damn, you know?
Well, I'm just another bozo on the bus, thanks to our social butterfly buddy, Phil. He arranged to get this picture painted of me. Thanks a lot, Phil.
I'm going to put that butterfly sticker on your helmet. I'm going to be adamant about that.
Fun for you, lady.
We're ruining
Paul, let me interrupt you for a second real quick. But what I wanted to say about that painting is, Emilio's got one too, Bill.
Sure, the big time. Let me finish.
These guys do so much and help so many people.
Without a doubt.
And I'm proud to do it with them.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to call them my friends. And what I did was, Paul's man cave. Now he called it his man cave when I first went there, Bill. And he has, on one wall, he has all the history of his family. And on the other wall, he has, you know, certain pictures and stuff. And basically, I don't know if they noticed. You noticed when I was taking pictures the other day, Paul?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I did, Bill, when you go in, the first picture on the left is that picture. When you go in, when you walk in the door, right above the couch.
Well, I like the pictures of him.
And I took that picture because this guy is a true rider and he loves to ride. So it doesn't matter where he rides. He's riding down to 7-Eleven.
He had no problem running down San Diego with us in a heartbeat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. These guys. Yeah, I came across the painter.
Who took the picture, by the way?
I took the picture.
You took the picture, okay.
I took the picture, but Pete initially took that picture.
Pete who?
Pete Alva.
I know that, but the people got to hear that.
Pete Alva.
Give some credit.
Pete Alva originally took that picture, and I have permission from Pete to use any of his pictures.
Okay.
So that's one of the reasons I was thinking, what could I do And then these guys saw my painting, and I was like, what could I do? Talk to this guy. He made the paintings for me.
Yeah.
A few ups and downs, little humps we got over. Everything's fine now. Everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I will help Gustavo in any way I can, and I will promote him as much as I can.
Let's get Paul's reaction to the picture.
Wait. So what I did was...
Wait, Paul. Just wait. Go ahead.
Because you
go
keep
ahead.
Interrupting me.
I keep thinking you're done.
No, so what
this
I did was...
Like a train
I,
that goes
I had
on
these
and
pictures.
On.
No, I had these pictures, and I had them made. And I surprised these guys, basically. And they were... And at that point, Paul, you can take over.
Please.
Well, I didn't know this was going to happen, and I really dig that picture. I dig Pete's picture in the first place. And Gustavo Velasquez, who's on Facebook, captured the painting, and he made one of Phil, and he made one of Baby Zachary, on which we went to this run last week, the Upside of Down. And this guy's really a great artist, and... I encourage everyone who really would like a painting of themselves to contact him. He does a lot of sports figures, and I'm mesmerized. I keep looking at it. Some people say it's scary because it's so. I guess it's scary because it's so realistic, you know, in a surreal kind of way.
And basically, what I did. I talked to him, and he told me, I'll take care of it. And, man, did he take care of it. That picture is awesome. Bill said, Bill's exact words were, fucking awesome. But
yeah, I was
awesome.
Impressed. And you know what, you said it so clearly, because it captured you. I mean, right away, boom, I know exactly what it was. Even though, as you said, some of the surrealistic background, still, that's something that I'd want to keep so my children and my grandchildren could see, hey, this is what I looked like when I was the man running around. That's class act. That belongs in a museum. That's all I say. That
it's in a museum. You're probably going to hang that out in the man cave, right?
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
Now
right
you said
on.
That when you met Paul, he took you right to the man cave. You want to tell our listeners about that a little bit? I'm curious.
The man cave. Paul, explain to him.
You said was you first met him, he took you to his man cave.
Right.
What happened?
Tell him what your man cave is, Bill. I mean, Paul.
Okay, well, let me tell you this. It was inspired by my grandfather. My grandfather had the first man cave in history, probably about 1962, 63, as early as I can remember. I would go to my grandpa's in East L.A., and all the women were like cackling hens at the kitchen. And my grandpa and I couldn't handle that. So I'd immediately crawl to go find him. And he cut a door from the house into the garage. That wasn't done back then. And as I crawled into his garage, he had his bed, his TV, his stereo, my uncle's 1941 knucklehead. And the first thing I'd do is climb on that knucklehead, and we would have the best times there because it was peaceful, quiet, listening to the radio, watching sports, and we had looking at the Harley next to the TV. How encouraging is that?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I always said to myself, I almost was going to build a mini mansion, 3,600 square feet, hacienda with a pool, but it was going to be so nice I'd never want to leave it. And I decided what I really need is a big, huge bunker. And that became the man cave, 40 by 50, 15 feet high to 50 RV. And then my shop became a little studio with 5-foot wide doors so I could ride my Harley in circles on rainy nights.
He's not kidding either, Bill. He's not kidding.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. And,
I mean, that'd be funny when he said that, and I didn't.
There you go.
And I had built a loft around the perimeter of the interior of the man cave, and I was going to ride a little dirt bike up a ramp and ride it around the ceiling, you know, basically in the second floor. And... Anyways, prior to my marriage, my wife bought a few things here, so I really don't ride my bike in circles anymore like I used to. But I still have the 4-foot wide door, so every once in a while I roll a Harley in next to the TV so I can watch my bike. It's just like being every day having Christmas and your bike right in your living room, you know?
Exactly.
I've heard wild stories of the the 60, some 60 Wildcat guys who would ride their bikes into their motel rooms or into their house and or cut out part of the door. So that's why I designed 5 foot wide doors. And
my house, I'll tell you, I have the garage door swings open, but I cut a pedestrian door in the garage door so I don't have to move the whole garage open. I have it so wide, the biggest bagger can get in there. And then I cut the garage off, and I asked my wife, I said, I have a wall. If I put a tool down, that's where I want the tool there in 2 days or 3 days. I don't want anybody to go into the garage for any reason. I even gave my wife her own toolbox elsewhere in the house to go through. I just need to know that that's my little space. And other guys are out there listening to Paul and I saying, we know what you mean.
Yeah.
You got to have your own space, man.
Exactly. And my grandpa, like I say, this is about 50 years ago. And the thing about all this is when my uncle rolled on that 41 knucklehead, everyone in East L.A., which we call Maravilla, stopped. The outlaws would look and the law would look. And that 41 I'm now having restored. And even at 3 or 4 years old when I was climbing on it, I knew that somebody would want to tell the story or somebody would want to film it. And Harley Davidson did eventually film me, and they haven't released my documentary, but that's cool. But I still have the 41, and a buddy has taken it down to the frame. I mean, this sucker is looking like brand new. So we are not going to display that until the Nationals in Pomona in January. And then once we show this bike publicly, then I'll probably ride it in our shows, Riding for a Cause. But all that, the 41, the filming, the acting, the writing, it was all stemmed from being in my grandpa's man cave. It is cool to watch TV with a bike next to the TV. I can't explain that one.
We're here. We're here. We're
reflecting on your 41 knuckles, what I was doing.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it's been an incredible journey, you know. I mean, anyways, it's been a blast, but my grandpa inspired the original man cave. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you had to try and go somewhere derogatory.
You brought it up. I just asked Paul a question. Paul explained it clearly. If it's in your head, something's funny. You know, Paul, before I went in the Army, in 69, 71, 67, I had a K-model Sportster, and I let it go. I went in the Army to give my money to my family and all that because I figured I ain't coming back. You know, I tried to find that Sportster, and I tried to find that Sportster. When I came home from the military, I bought myself a Panhead right away, 1971, but I always wish I could have contacted that owner who had my K-model Sporty. Not that it was valuable, not that it was special, just the fact that it was my motorcycle, the first bike I had. It meant an awful lot to me. But I'm glad you got to keep that 41. That's what I'm thinking about as you're talking.
And you know, my uncle rode that, and he parked it in 1965, and that's where it's at. And I had breakfast with him this morning, and he's excited about the project. So my goal is to get my 76-year-old uncle back on his knucklehead.
There we go.
Perfect. Because you're never too old or never too young to ride.
Well, if you got your health and you got your eyesight and you can hold your bike up, I say ride as long as you can breathe. I think as long as you're riding, you'll keep living. It's only when you quit riding that you start to slip away a little bit. I hope we all can ride to the last day.
Hey, Bill, check this out, and you can correct me on the facts. In 1941, there was only 2,400 knuckleheads made. And then to pin it down, it was the first year of the 74 engine.
Okay, so you got an E model.
Yes.
Or an F model, excuse me. You got an F model. My apologies, sir. Yeah, you got an F model. The E model's
right.
On the 60. Yeah, you got an F model. Yeah, very rare, very, very rare.
And luckily, it had been transformed into a bobber, but the original frame was intact and never chopped or never sidecar attachments removed, all those kinds of things that people did over time. And my mechanic restored, Leonzo Perez, he grew up in the neighborhood with Emilio. He's got a 47 knucklehead that looks like brand new. And he restored that from a bobber. That was something he grew up with in his neighborhood. His wife got it for him like 25 years later as a birthday present. So his 47, he says, I mean, he's gotten some good offers, but he tells me that my 41 will be worth a little bit more just because it's pre-war. Does that make sense, Bill?
Well, you know, when it's eye of the beholder, if you think it's worth more, I particularly am a pan freak. So pan has mean everything to me, and yet some of my partners are knuckle fanatics for life. Anybody that has a knuckle, it's certainly a treasure. There wasn't too many knuckles made during the war period. They had to give so much a contract to Indian and a good contract to Harley-Davidson. They made more of the Ws, the 750cc's, the 45s. Oh. They specialized on that during the war and then after the war. So if you got yourself a pre-knuckle, I mean, pre-war knuckle, yeah, you got a piece of American history without a doubt.
And you know, Harley did film that, but it was in pieces. My uncle, being a nice guy that he was, you know, some guys down the block said, hey, we want to put this in the show, and they stripped it down, but that's all he did was strip it down. So we've pieced it back together, and for any potential bike builders out there, I'm sure glad that we did not bolt this together and try to start it. We even found a washer and a piston, so I don't know how that happened. But,
Let me give you a little trivia over here. Of course, you've heard of Indian motorcycles, too. After World War II, Harley-Davidson got the big war contract. Indian did not. During World War II, we had a embargo. You couldn't use gasoline. You couldn't use bicycles. You couldn't use rubber, nylons. All this stuff here was, hard to come by. Indian would have been the number one motorcycle, except Harley-Davidson got all the war contracts. But do you know why Indian was left-handed throttle? The answer is most people right-handed. When you're riding down the road and you're chasing the bad guys as a police officer or in war, if you got your right hand on the throttle,
you can't shoot
left-handed. So Indian came out with, we'll put the throttle on the left-hand side because more of us are right-handed than left-handed, and we're more naturally right-handed shooters. That is the only reason why Indian went to left-hand throttle. Harley never picked it up. Little trivia, but that's part of life.
Wow. Hey, I've got some trivia for you, Bill. When I was about 6-7 years old, we had some outlaws down the block. And late Saturday nights, early Sunday mornings, some of these guys would be kicking their bikes and being bucked over the handlebars.
Yes.
And I thought maybe because they were a little smashed. What I've since come to find out, that a lot of guys with the older bikes left off the, the advance?
Yes.
Retard?
Yeah.
It was basically, for a lot of people don't know, it was like a left-handed throttle with a piano wire that adjusted the, the timing so that certain compression stroke. So the guys that could adjust the setting could feel their compression stroke and kick. And obviously some people took that off to strip down their bikes, and they try to kick it in the wrong stroke and get bucked if they weren't in the right physical frame of mind. Is that the proper terminology, Bill?
On that, every few people, 1 in 100, was smart enough to figure out when they came in, they set that left-hand adjustment, as you just said, they'd shut their bike off and leave the compression stroke. And as they turned the bike on, they wouldn't have to kick their bike over. It would start up almost automatically. But everybody else took those parts and nobody ever used that. But 1 in 100 knew that trick. That's an old guy's trick. You probably never see that.
Wow. And see, my bike restorer told me that one. And I always wondered why people were getting bucked off. But when I was a kid, like I say, I knew that Harley-Davidson came out with an electric start in 1965, and I said, that's what I'm going to get. So by the time 75 rolled around, I finally had enough money to buy me a Harley. But to be honest with you, the AMF years were adios, mofo. They were a little ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I waited around till I finally got my 99 dresser that stripped down and looked like a shovel head. And
we do
want to
say this about AMF and Harley-Davidson. Harley-Davidson sold an antiquated factory that was one step from going bankrupt. AMF came in, built a brand-new factory. They did not hire guys, long hair, beards, tattoos. They didn't give a shit. AMF, they hired people with college degrees. AMF built from an antiquated factory to a new modern factory. AMF did everything, but AMF never could get the acceptance from America. So they finally sold it back to Harley. Now, Harley sold them a beat-up factory and in 1980 bought back a state-of-the-art good. So AMF gets bad-mouthed a lot, but Harley is what it is today because of AMF. If Harley had kept going on, it had gone belly up. Wasn't that good a company?
Wow. Well, that's very interesting. I didn't know all that. All I know is when I could finally afford one, it wasn't my style. So that's very interesting.
That's why recently Eric Buell left the Harley-Davidson factory, too. He's trying to build his own motorcycles. Eric Buell wants to have a motorcycle that people can just roar. Harley-Davidson still is holding us back. When we stopped doing the FXRs, we came to the Dynaglides. I spoke to the factory. Why at 105, 110, why am I picking up a wobble in my Dyna? Harley-Davidson said, and anybody wants to talk about this, argue, please be my guest. Harley told me, you're not supposed to ride that fast.
Yep.
I'm saying to them, it doesn't matter what I'm supposed to do. The point is, why am I wobbling at 105 to 110? They said the FXR frame wouldn't do that. It had one more rubber mount. The Dynaglide frame was made cheaper, and you, Mr. Kennedy, don't belong doing 105, 110. So I can see what they're saying, but I'm saying, well, why don't you build a bike so it can do it? But they said no. So Harley-Davidson has never really stayed up. Let's face it, any Ninja, Hurricane, Katana, everybody in Hayabusa can hear us right now. You can go by us like you're flying. You won't look as good as us, but you'll go by us. Harley-Davidson has got to step up and come across, and they are now. We have got the 103 motors out, the 96 motors, 6-speed transmissions. If you think back like to 2006, Harley has said, we've got to get along with Japanese technology. We've got to step up. We can't have this old, slow Harley anymore. And the new 103s, that's some shitting and getting.
Yep.
Oh, well, enough of this.
But, you know, Bill, I have all that stuff, modifications on my
Dyna. Yeah.
It doesn't vibrate. It starts to vibrate at 125.
Well, last time I did a 125, I did a wobble. It took me several miles to come out of that wobble. I'm a little concerned about hitting that speed again. That front end started shaking, and I didn't know to back off the throttle, crack more throttle. I tried both. I let go of the throttle completely, didn't get out of it. I opened the throttle full on. And I think the bike came out of its own wobble. So, but it took me many miles to get out of that high-speed wobble. And I'm telling you, I found Jesus, Lord. I ain't doing that speed again. When you're all over the freeway, you're going, oh, shit. So I'm a new man now.
Wow. You know, when I got the 99 dresser, it only had 12,000. And but anyways, it had a power commander on it. And I'd never ridden with a power commander, and I picked up my dresser off the front end. I picked it up twice, a foot off the ground, and that kind of blew my mind. It was like a cafe racer was too damn fast. So needless to say, over the course of time, I found out that once it got spray washed, it knocked out the computer board, so I just had it disconnected. Now it can sit in the rainstorm and fire right up.
There you go.
It doesn't go as fast, but I get great mileage.
I'm okay with that, too. You know, I've been to Europe an awful lot, and I've been on the Autobahn. California freeways, they're not safe to do a major riding like that. We've got trash on our freeways. We've got spare tires on our freeways. Maybe I'm getting old. I don't feel
well, you know, Bill, I have an interesting story since you talked about tires on the freeway. Bill, you want to, or Paul, would you like me to tell that story?
Sure.
Okay. Paul was out in front leading the pack, Bill. Truck
where
left.
Where
we
at?
What were we on, the 60 freeway?
We're on the busy 710 freeway, Bay major truck thoroughfare from downtown LA to the harbor.
Okay.
Rough freeway.
Right. Very rough freeway. Mm-hmm. And Paul was leading in the second lane. And truck lost a tire.
No.
And someone pointed out very casually to Paul that when the truck loses a tire, they usually pull to the right. You don't take everybody to the right.
Right.
To go around the truck.
Correct.
Paul made a mistake, but...
Well, was anybody hurt? Well, then he walked away from it. What,
exactly.
So, what I need to say is that the lanes were blocked to the left, so we were going to eventually have to get to the right to merge onto another road. I stay away from trucks personally. I'll either go single file or switch my lane or get out of that lane. I saw a truck, a fuel truck, a couple months back, blow a tire on a fuel truck, and a double fender blew off and covered the whole adjacent lane like a big hook.
Yeah, I see
so
that.
So a tractor would have chewed up right there.
Don't you remember, Bill, when, who was it? He was driving by and the truck, the ring came off the rim.
Yeah.
And hit him.
Yeah.
I forget who that was, but.
And I was peppered recently when a sidewall went out in the semi, and it was in a slow lane. I was just getting on the freeway, so I was in the next lane. My thigh, my calf, my shoulder, from those little pieces of rubber, man, I was black and blue. Luckily, the big pieces didn't hit me, but it got my attention. Shit happens, though.
Hey, we were in New Mexico in May, and I was looking for the right off ramp up near Santa Fe and Tusaki. I wanted to go show my friends the scene from Wild Hogs, a little gas station out there where they had a scene filmed. And make a long story short, all the construction changed the road. So I took my eye off the main road for a second looking for the off ramp to see it had moved from the previous trip. In the corner of my eye, my wife saying, "Watch out, here comes a tire right at us." A farm truck lost his spare, and that sucker bounced and coming right at us. So instead of staring at it, I kind of leaned to the shoulder because, as you know, where you look is where you're going to go. So I quit looking at it because that sucker was getting closer and closer to me. So I had to run away from it, slow down, and then it passed me up, bounced off the wall, and that was kind of a crazy situation.
You know, it's and, like and my grandmother who passed away has always said to me, "Paul, God's not done with you yet. Don't know what your plan is."
Exactly.
Hey, who else is on? Somebody on your somebody's trying to get in and say something here. You know?
Emilio, is that you, Emilio?
That's me, brother. What's going on, man?
How you doing, buddy?
It's a fine
day. Hey, Emilio.
I'm doing good. How you doing, Paul? How's it going, brother?
Good, good. Hope you're doing well.
Everything is beautiful, brother, all the time.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to... I'm going to share this with you now, but... you know that painting that you took a picture with over the weekend?
Yeah, yeah.
Paul has it at his house, so I plan on Paul and I and you getting together, and we'll all go out and have dinner, and I'd like to present that to you for all the things that you do, brother.
Oh, bro, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. That's really nice of you, brother. That's really nice of you, man. Yeah, it's a beautiful painting, man. The guy did a beautiful job with that painting, and also one with Paul and his old lady, Cha-Cha-Cha, you know, and the guy's a great artist, man.
You know, I was trying to figure out, of all the pictures, I was trying to figure out, and when I was at Paul's house before we hooked up with you at the restaurant, but I had taken pictures, and I took that picture, and that was the best picture that I saw because it emphasized Paul riding. They liked to, Paul and Cha-Cha liked to ride. So that picture inspired me to talk to that gentleman, Gustavo Vasquez, to have him paint that portrait for me, as well as yours.
When I saw that photo, when I saw the painting of Cha-Cha-Cha and a Paul, I knew exactly what photo it was off the top. That's how good that painting was, bro. I mean, it's all abstract, you know, different colors, all different kind of gels, but you knew exactly what it was. It's a beautiful painting, man.
And yours, there was a bunch of different shots. But the one that struck me the most was that day when you pulled into the bad ride and you stopped so people could take pictures.
Yeah.
That's the picture.
Yeah,
the
man. That came out pretty. I'm really proud of that. That was good stuff, man. Real good stuff. And,
when your schedule permits, the three of us will kibitz a little bit and we'd like to get together and go out and have dinner. And I'd like to give
that.
Okay,
that sounds
perfect.
Good. Yeah, man. Yeah, and I'll be coming on again, I think, on next Tuesday, because we got another function we got to do for we're doing a little, I don't want to talk too much about it right now because I don't got all the information on me. But I've got a boy's man, Diana, that's not going to, you know, he's been sick for a while and he's not going to make it, man. He literally got like 2 months to go to live. And they're having this big old thing in Almani at a football field, you know, during the football halftime. We're going to say a few words.
Okay, perfect.
I have information on Tuesday, bro, and that way we can have a nice little crowd for the little boy. He just wishes for a few things. You know, he's real young, man, you know.
Yeah.
For a couple of things, and we can just, you know, spend some time with him that night. That would be nice because that's the thing. He ain't going to be with us much longer. I'm telling you right now, you know, it's just kind of fucked up, man. But, you know, it's just, you know, I just try
well,
to... Just
you know, lately, since we've all gotten together and we've all picked a cause and we've all supported it and we've all done the best we could to help it out, I'm there.
I know you always are there, Phil, and I really appreciate that. You know, and it's, you know, it's hard, man, because, you know, there's so many different causes. I mean, there's so many, you know, this is fucking diseases, people dying, this and that. And you know, it's hard to, you know, and Paul knows as well, it's hard to make everything. We try to, man, but, and if we can't make your thing, man, I apologize, you know, because I'm either booked or I just can't be there because I'm working, you know what I'm saying? And, but, you know, it's sad, dude, you know, like, it's really, like, you know, on stage, I was on stage at, on the Down syndrome, right? And I got overwhelmed, man, because I was there, you know, and what happens with me is I fucking start thinking too fucking much before I speak. And the things that I think about make me sad. And what I was thinking was that, you know, I can't do nothing. You know, I'm here, but I can't do nothing. You know, like all I could do is show up, you know? And it makes me sad because I can't do nothing, bro. You dig what I'm saying? It's like,
yes.
It's kind of weird. You know, it's just like, but I show up, I mean, I try to show up for everything that's going to bring me people that's, but I can't fix nobody, you know what I mean? It's sad, bro, you know what I mean? It's kind of weird, man. It was just, it went to my mind, and it fucked me up a little bit. So maybe now...
Emilio goes like, take care of your family first, and you take care of your community next. Your obligation as a man is to take care of your family. You're there to help the community, but you got to say, you know what? My family's here. I'm going to do what I can. But we can't save the world, brother. We've got to try.
But it kind of fucking hit me there. You dig what I'm saying? It just kind of fucking hit me there. Like, okay, well, I'm here, but what? You know, like, I can't stop from somebody from dying. I can't somebody from being sick. I can't somebody from dying from cancer. It's just it's a fucking situation, though. You know, it's sad, you know. But I will show up to, you know, to if it's going to bring people to help the cause, that's beautiful. But then, you know, I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. I mean, Jerry Lewis, God bless his soul, he's been doing his muscular feast for I don't know how many motherfucking years, bro. And, you know, people got MS still, brother, to this day. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I haven't seen any changes. And that guy be raising money like crazy money. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's Jerry Lewis, bro. I mean, he's doing it ever since I was a kid. I've been watching him do his telethons. And it's just fucked up, man. You know, we need some kind of miracle, man. You know, it's fucked, man. It's weird, you know?
You know, I'm gonna tell you, Miguel, you know, before you left, when we were standing in the parking lot, and I don't know if you remember that tall young kid that ran up to you and wanted to take a picture.
Yeah. He was a nice kid, man. Give me a hug. Hug my wife. Yeah, a real nice kid, man. Yeah, I remember him.
He talked about that for 45 minutes, dude. He was so excited. You made his day. You made the rest of his life because he got to talk to the president of the Mayans.
That's fucking beautiful, man. Well, you know what? That now you're making my day right there too, brother. You know, that's beautiful, man. I remember one time, you know what, man? You know they put things in perspective there, man. Because I remember we did another charity we did at Dendo Harley, and there was this kid, man, that came up. Paul wasn't there, but another friend of mine was there. And this kid came up in a wheelchair. He was all twisted up, bro. I mean, you know, he had MS to the extreme. You know what I mean? I mean, his legs, everything. And he came by, and, you know, he was telling me, you know, he was, like, really excited, you know. So me and three other buddies of mine, we picked him up out of his chair and put him on my Harley. And that guy, my friend, my friend comes up, he goes, dude, you made his week. And then somebody said, he goes, no, brother, he made his life. You know what I'm talking about? And that was beautiful, what I'm talking about. So I guess sometimes, you know, sometimes it's just because you do it so much, you kind of get numb to it, you know. But it hurts because you see different, man, you see how these fucking different diseases affect everybody, you know what I'm saying? And it's like I don't know, man. I guess I got too much of a soft heart for that kind of stuff. You dig what I'm saying? And it just hurts because there's only so much you can do, man, you know?
When I see these kids that got, they're crippled or MS or cancer, I keep thinking about my own children.
Right.
That's why Philip and I, both of us have family. Philip and I do this because we think of our own children. We're blessed that we have health. Bless our families there. Therefore, we feel we have to give. And I know you feel the same way.
Yeah. You know, and the thing is, bro, is that, you know, it's, you know, and then for people out there who are fucking themselves up with drugs and shit, you know, man, it's a blessing to have a, people are saying, I want a boy or a girl, fuck that, just have a healthy baby, because that's a blessing to have that, you know, and, you know, people that are doing them drugs, fucking themselves up, taking them fucked up shit, you know, they're fucking themselves up and making themselves like that, you know what I mean? Like, I remember when I was, at my last part of my drug days, you know, my arms were twisting up, my eyes were slipping like Marty Feldman and shit. I was all fucked up, bro. And I was doing that to myself. And I was a healthy man, bro. You know what I'm talking about? So, you know, it's just like, man, sometimes we just take shit for granted, man, you know? And people are just trying to fucking walk straight, you know? It's weird, man.
Exactly. And a lot of times, when I, like this last weekend on Sunday, and we were there, and the people just kept coming.
It was beautiful, right? That was a huge. That event should be turned out to be a huge event, bro.
Yeah, and I think the tally, Paul, if I'm not mistaken, was almost 300 bikes.
Wow!
Right.
For a first time event, bro. Too, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and we had clubs from everywhere, and everything was it was great because nobody was there had an ego. Nobody there was walking around with beer muscles. Everybody got together because they all realized we were there for the kids.
I heard you were telling me some of the old-time clubs were asking about me. Am I still up there? I'm still alive and all that.
Yeah,
That was kind of nice of those gentlemen to remember me still. Appreciate
that.
Yeah,
brother. There was a Dukes were there. There was a lot of nice car clubs. There was a lot of nice rides over there. It was a nice, beautiful kickback time, bro. It was hot as fuck, but it was nice chill. Everybody was a nice, mellow mode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was a good time, man. That was a good time.
And,
man, but we got this thing going up over here, bro, and the Dorian, and it's called Team Dorian. And it's funny because I've been hit me up a while back, and then I've been getting hit up by another. What happened, bro, there's three different people that have been hitting me up. It all turned out to be the same gig. You dig what I'm saying? So it's going to be it's a good one, man. It's just like, a farewell to the little boy who, when you see him, you think nothing's wrong with him, man. You know, I thought nothing was wrong with him. Like, I saw him at back in December, me and my wife were at Children's Hospital. Every year, we go there and drop off gifts for Children's Hospital for the cancer patients. And we met this one little boy. He's about 4 years old, three or four. And we gave him the gift, and he was all lit up, man. You know, he was hugging my wife. He was running around. We were having a good time. So then we saw him 3 weeks ago at the chicken wing place. We had a little function there. And they said, you know what, hey, we saw him, we hugged him. Hey, how's he doing? And they go, you know what, he had his last chemotherapy. And I said, oh, that's great, man. You know, what's his long-term prognosis? And he said that he has 3 months to live, man, you know. And, wow, you know, kind of like fucking shot us down, you know what I'm saying? So, and the little boy, look at him, man, you know, it's cute little
kid, we got a similar thing like that, too. This guy, he's got about, what, 5 months left, though?
Which one are you talking about?
The one where he went to the park and they gave him his cut.
No, not even 3 months.
Yeah. And this guy, he got a phone call to be at a barbecue, and they presented him with his own cut and made him a member of the club, and they're helping make his days with what he wanted to do. And
he's got a bike, and they're helping him put it together one more time and all that, but he'll never live to be to see it ride. But the point is, he had so much heart that one bike club, and I don't normally identify them by name, but these are called the Warriors of the Cross, the Christian Bike Club. They brought this gentleman in, and they presented him with the colors, and I don't think he's taken them off yet.
Yeah.
I think he sleeps in them, he lives in them, he goes to the hospital with them. If he gets 2 more months, that'll be in a God's good side. But
right.
They gave
he's
it
proud.
Because
he's proud, man. You know, he's proud. You know, that's nice, man. It's really nice.
He can walk into my shop like he's big time shit. Man.
Oh yeah, yeah. He walks in now like he's 6'10", and he looks like he acts like Big Rusty when he comes into the room. But
I don't mean he's got patchitis. He got no attitude. He's just damn proud that people cared about him because he was dying and his friends are all gone.
Yeah, man. That's
hey, what's going on coming up though, Phil?
Well, we're going to keep this one is the second annual Bikers Keeping LA Warm, Bill. It's for the Los Angeles Mission Run.
All right.
October.
Are you in town for that?
You know what, brother? You know what, my team was telling me about that, and I love that run. That's a beautiful run because the cold is starting to come up, man. And you know, everybody's doing the blankets or jackets or stuff like that, you know, whatever they got to keep people warm. But I'm already booked on that event. But you know what? Me and my wife were talking about that, so I'm gonna see what kind of the timeline is gonna work like, so I can go to East Coast, show my face at this one place I'm going. I'm doing a cancer run that day, so I'm gonna go do that, and hopefully, you know, don't matter. If it's that far away, I'm going to jump over to Martin's right as well, man, because that's a great cause as well, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I had booked this gig already like 2.5 months ago with the cancer, right? So I don't back down and stuff like that unless I'm really working. And so I'm not working that day, so I'm doing that. But Martin had just informed me what happened with this one, the skid roll run, which I do. I love the skid roll run, man. That's
a good run.
That's another form of out of the city. We see some of the people. A lot of them are just, you know, just the streets. A lot of people over there are strung out, man. It's a sickness, brother. You know, I'm talking about some of them are just unfortunate, but less fortunate, and they're gonna be cold this year, man. You know, that's beautiful, man. You know, you just
you know, and every one of us has got a family member who's on drugs or on alcohol, homeless.
Yeah.
Everyone. It's not like we're saying, oh, it doesn't affect us. It's affected every one of us.
Okay, everybody. Bro. And I remember one time when I was doing the movie Collateral, man, and this was really cool of Tom Cruise. They were showing Tom Cruise some locations, and they went down Skid Row in San Julian and shit. And he passed by there during the nighttime, and all the people, we were filming during the wintertime, and he passed by there, and he saw all that shit, and he said, tomorrow I want all these people to have blankets. And he bought blankets for everybody. It was beautiful, man, you know what I'm saying? Just by going down and checking out the locations, you know what I mean? And he goes, tomorrow I want everybody here to have blankets. And they went, his crew went over there and bought everybody blankets, bro, you know what I'm saying?
I actually met him, Bill. He's a back too.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's a true story. And then, you know, like for years, like Mr. Cartoon and Esteban Oreo, you know, we go down there and they buy like 1,000 cheeseburgers from McDonald's, and we go to Skid Row, bro. We go like about 8 fucking, we go deep and get out of the cars and we line everybody up and we give everybody a cheeseburger, you know, a couple, we have extra, you know what I mean? So it's good, man, you know.
Yeah, and you know, we had a nice little ride to the event, Bill, and
Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, but I think Emilio, when we went through the twisties, he wanted more.
Yeah,
he told me when we got, that was a great ride going through there.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff, bro. I mean, I like it better when I'm alone because my old lady gets stripped out a little bit, like slowed down. She starts hugging me a little bit tighter, starts eating the opposite way. But that's the kind of riding I like to do. It's pretty cool, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. It's like when you go up to the rock store or something like that. It's really nice up there, you know?
Yeah, when the next time we'll bikes and you can take that, you can use mine on the twisties.
There you go. You can lean a little bit, bro, you know what I'm saying?
You can lean over all the way, brother.
I'm talking about Gina, bro. Fucking, have you seen the way Phil's old days drives? Gina fucking drives like a badass, bro.
Hey.
Like a badass.
Phil and I are here to tell you she rides better than most guys we know.
Yeah, I can knock him out for that too, but she's a good rider, man.
I'd rather ride with her than Philip any day of the week, and I told her
Now, Philip got it under control pretty good too. I've been watching him ride too. He got it under control, brother.
Well, you notice how all those cars just stopped when I just stopped in the middle of the street?
Yeah, we had some good roadblockers. Well, that was beautiful, man.
Exactly. I think though, when I pull up first, I think when they saw the hammer, they were intimidated, so they stopped right away.
There you go. I didn't want to say that, but since you brought it up, you know. Hey, listen,
hey,
brother, I gotta get going over here. I'm gonna make a couple of phone calls. I'm getting off to the gym over here. You guys have a good night, and I will have a Tuesday. I will have more information of Team Dorian, bro, and hopefully we can get a lot of people out there as well. Okay, brother?
All right. I'll give you a call over the weekend.
All right. Sure. Hey, Paul, you take it easy, bro. You ride safe out there, homie.
Hey, you too, brother. Take care.
All right. You guys take it easy, homie. Have a good night, huh?
Hey, you too, man. Paul.
Okay, brother. Okay, bye.
That's a class act, Paul.
Well, you know.
Both of them are class act.
Yeah.
Can't say enough.
Let me just say,
Phil, that, you know, in our minds, you know, all of us, we're all legends in our own mind, or we're all tough dudes. Emilio is tougher, badder. He's off the hook. That's all I can tell you. And at 50 years old, he still hits a softball out of a baseball stadium like it's a hardball.
Hmm?
The guy's amazing. And I think, to me, and like when I help these societies or I help children, I just want them to dream about riding a Harley. Emilio's got so many skills, I think that all affects him at once. Like, some of these kids will never get to do some of the things he's done, you know?
Right. Some of them any of us have. But if I can brighten a kid's day by putting them on the seat in my bike and starting it up, but runs, or take them for sure a drone around the parking lot, it's priceless.
And you know what? Very quickly say too. You know, you don't have to go out and be a foster parent or anything. Find the kids in your neighborhood. Talk to the kids in your neighborhood. Some of them don't have a father. Some of them don't or have a bad father. Just be a friend to your neighbor's kid. That may mean an awful lot. Small change. It'll grow and grow and grow. When I start the motorcycle up and I go down the street every day, the kids run out to wave goodbye to me. That's the image they have of me. Hey, Mr. Biker Man. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I talk to the kids. I don't treat them like little, you know, brats and all that. How you doing, kids? What do you got? What do you got going? Baseball game today? Would you take a few minutes out of my time to be polite to children? These people, these kids, don't have father figures. So if everybody would just start in your own neighborhood. All right, enough of the sales pitch. I'm off my soapbox. All right.
Hey, you're right, you know, and it's kind of like mentoring. And I tell these kids, dream it, and you can do it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. But what I'd like to say to everybody, and Paul, thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
And I'm
to all the ladies, we appreciate them.
I'm going down the list, Bill.
Uh-huh.
To everybody that tunes in, we couldn't be this. This isn't our show; it's your show. And if we can help in any way, we'll be there. And if you have a complaint or a bitch, or you just want to chew somebody out on the air, you're welcome to do that. And I got to give kudos once more to Gustavo Vasquez for fabulous paintings that he painted.
I want to thank also all the people that archive this show and cannot get in, but they listen afterwards.
Right.
These are people that write you little notes and all that. They want to get on either uncomfortable or they just because of time constraints. But so many people are listening to the show.
Right.
We want to say hello to everybody.
And we have a new listener, Jackie. She runs around with Bernie and the rest of us to events.
Oh, okay.
And she joined us tonight. And Paul, I'm glad that you and Cha Cha got your picture. I'm happy.
That's a great picture.
And I'm happy that you're happy.
Paul, I've never seen you look so good in my life.
And I want to make sure that we all sit down and break bread, the three of us, with better halves, and do what we got to do, because together I think we're a force to be reckoned with.
And with that, boys and girls, Uncle Bill's got to get some dinner in him. I'm getting hungry, so I'm gonna say goodnight to everybody, and you guys have a good life. We'll make the world a better place. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Paul. Good night, Nora.
Good night.
Good night, little girl.
Good night, Eunice. Sorry we couldn't bring you back in, but
it's okay.
Tune in Tuesday because we're going to have some important flash news, and we'll talk to everybody Tuesday. And don't forget, the archives are free to download. You can listen to the show anytime, anywhere, and off your phone, off the computer.
Will you be taking pictures of the Vegas party?
Yes,
so
we will.
Can see? Okay,
yes,
so
we will.
We'll
be taking pictures
too.
Of Vegas. I'll be taking pictures of a few other things before that and after that, Bill.
Okay.
But good night, all.
Good night. Good night.
And I'm going to let Charlie Baker take us out with a little ride.